God is so good. And I'm so glad that I found out that He's a good God and not one that's mad at me, not one that's angry. No. He poured His wrath on Jesus. All His anger went on Jesus on that cross so that we could have and enjoy life, that we could be free. Jesus said that He came to set the captives free. In Luke in chapter 4, and Luke is referencing Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. That word anointed means it's the power of God, but it's been poured on Him. It's been poured out upon Him, and through your relationship to Him, that anointing is in your life. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel. That's good news. Say good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. How many have ever had your heart broken or even bruised? Jesus came to set you free from that. To proclaim liberty to the captives. We were in captivity to Satan, really, to sin. But Jesus came and He set the captives free. And the Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You got to see yourself free. Not as the circumstances dictate, not as your neighbor tells you you are, not as your boss or your spouse, but as God sees you, so are you. You've got to see yourself. If you could start this year knowing that God sees you spotless, He sees you sinless, He sees you beautiful, He sees you like the biggest, best diamond that ever is in this earth, that's just a rock. You're much more valuable than that. And God sees you valuable. He has put value in you. And that value cost Him something. It cost Him His Son. It cost Jesus His blood. He poured His blood out for you so that you would have life. Life abundantly. Free from captivity. Goes on to say, Jesus said that God has sent Him to recover the sight to the blind. So that's not just talking about your eyes, but any part of your physical body. He's healed you. Isaiah in 53 says that He Himself bore our sin in His body. No, that's 2 Peter 2:24. That we might die to sin and live unto righteousness. I'm on this side of the cross. And by His stripes, we were healed. Peter looked back and said, we were healed. If you was healed, then you is healed. If you is healed, you are healed. You've got to see yourself healed. You believe what God says, you'll get healing. How many are born again? Okay. At one point in your life, you had to have heard the message, the good news preached. And you had to make a decision. Is that for me? Or is that a bunch of gibberish? Do I really believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That He came and died? We had to believe that. I have not seen God with my eyes physically. But I've seen Him with my eyes spiritually. And so I had to believe and receive Him. And when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, something, the greatest miracle happened. My dead spirit, it wasn't fixed, it wasn't restored, that was taken out and a new spirit put in me. I'm brand new, a brand new species that never existed before. I have life now, the life of God. And you say, well, you haven't seen God. No, I haven't seen him physically. I've seen the effects of God. I've seen what it's done for me. I've seen what it's done for others. Jesus and his word and this word are one. And he came to do all that we've just said. He came to set at liberty those who are oppressed. How many have ever been oppressed? You got news and that oppression just began to fill the room. That's why I like coming here, because the oppression can't stay here. It's going out the back. If somebody comes in with it, it's leaving. It's leaving. He says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, he's talking about kingdom living. Jesus came to take us out of the kingdom of darkness. And he brought us into the kingdom of his dear son, where we have life. Life, not just life, but life more abundantly. Life more abundantly, not just abundantly, more abundantly. What does that mean to you? See, we can't just read over God's word and think we have an understanding. We've got to know what it means in our hearts. We've got to know. See, salvation is not just for our sins forgiven. It's much more than that. It's everything for your spirit, your soul, and your body. Didn't leave anything out. Why would God leave anything out? He didn't create Adam with just one arm, with toes missing. No, he completed him. He didn't leave anything out. He doesn't want anything missing in your body. Shalom, it means the perfect peace of God. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's a picture of the believer. You've got to picture yourself whole, healed, healthy, prosperous. The first thing he said, he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What's good news to somebody that's poor? Friend, you just got to stay broke the rest of your life. That's not what Jesus said to him. You kidding me? What's good news to any area of your life that's in lack? What would good news be? That it's restored. That it's better. God doesn't leave you where you were, even with the sin. He doesn't leave you there. And he's so gentle. He's so loving. That man that was full of leprosy. Leprosy is a physical disease that eats up your body. And the man knew Jesus could heal him. Something about this man, Jesus. I know he can heal me. But he asked him a question. He said, Lord, I know you can heal me, but are you willing? And how did Jesus respond? I am willing. Some of you know your Bible, Luke 5:12. I am willing. He didn't leave the man in that leprous state. Matter of fact, it's just the next page over. It happened when Jesus was in a certain city that behold, a man who was full of leprosy. Now, Luke was a doctor, a medical doctor, and so he understood leprosy. And when he penned it, when he wrote it, he was giving us a picture of what this man had. He didn't just have leprosy, he had full leprosy. In other words, his whole body, he was a disgrace to look at. You would not, it was grotesque. But the man fell on his face and begged Jesus, said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I've had people say to me, I don't know if I'm good enough for God to save me. So they could be saying, Lord, if you're willing, would you save me? But he's willing. There's not a thing you've done bad enough that would cause God to even bat an eyelash. He saw it down through time, and he put it on Jesus. And we're clean. We've been washed as white as snow. And the adversary, Satan, he comes before the Father daily, the Bible says. And he accuses us in front of God. But every single time, he's just wasting his time. Because every time he gets before him and says, you know, John did something wrong. and God opens the book and he sees John's name. And he says, the price has been paid. The price has already been paid. You can't charge somebody twice for the same crime. All his crimes have been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. So God tells the devil, he's not guilty. I don't find anything here. Get out of here. That's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God. So Jesus said, he put out his hand and touched him first, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And it says immediately the leprosy left him. See, that's good news. That's good news. Glory to God. Well, Happy New Year. I'm very excited about where we're going, where God's taking us. I want to talk to you today about some of the vision of that God's put inside of me, and I want to talk to you about vision for your life. Vision for your life. Last week, I asked you to write down on an index card the top three things that you're facing that concern you. And I went home, I was eating my lunch Sunday afternoon, and I read them all. And then I prayed over them, as I said I would. And then throughout the week, I would just reference. I said, Lord, I said, you know what's going on. I don't know the names. There's a couple if you put your names, but I don't know most of it. And I said, Lord, you know. You know this particular situation's going on in this person's life. And I was interceding for you. I was bringing God in on the scene. Because we're going to bring God in on the scene, and we're going to see those situations change this year. We're not going to wait till December. We're starting right at the gate here. Right at the beginning. And so I woke up about midnight last night. And I come downstairs and open my Bible, and I had those cards right there. And I read through them all again, each one of them, prayed over every one of them. And I got back to bed about 2 o'clock. So I've been working since midnight. So anyway, I want to talk to you about vision for your life, how you can have the best life. You don't have to settle for mediocre. You don't have to settle for average. Do you know that average is of the devil? God never called us to be average. He called us to be great. He's put greatness in us. He's put a value in you that you have yet to discover what the value is. None of us have. We are so valuable to him. And I said last week that God needs you as much as you need him. God needs you. I think it was Friday, Peggy, was it Friday that I was over at Isaiah 61? Thursday. It's one of those days this week. Just a different name. Chloe, some of you know who this young girl, Chloe, she's what, 19 years old? She just turned 20, so she's now an adult. But I tell you what, that girl has got the fire of God on the inside of her. And had she not gone back on Saturday, I invited her to come and speak this coming Wednesday, but she had to go back. She's in Bible school in Florida, and she said she'd take me up on that when she comes back in June. But this girl, the stories that I hear are just amazing. God gives her a word, and she goes out, and she's at McDonald's at 10:30 at night, all by herself. And the Lord says, in this car, shows her a vision of this car. She gets out of her car, dark at night, goes up to this car. There's three people in it. Proceeds to lead them to the Lord, and two of them get healed. Just because she listened. And Holy Ghost said, go here. And that's just one story. I don't know if it was you, Peggy, that told me that they had to put a curfew on her at Bible school because she'd be out all night long. All night long. It's like John the Baptist out there just declaring. And they said, girl, you got to get some sleep sometime. So they cut it off at midnight, I think. It almost brings tears to my eyes to see somebody that on fire to do the work of the Lord. And yet, every one of us has been called to do the work of the Lord. Every one of us. Not a one of you is left out. You've got a calling in your life. It's inside your spirit, man. And you've just, if you haven't been doing it, you just haven't discovered it. And I want to help you discover it this year. Nobody helped me discover except God when I said, God, what am I doing on this planet? And I thought he was going to say something cool like, son, I've called you to be a sports announcer. He said, I've called you to teach. That's not what I wanted to hear. But you know what? That's where my greatest joy is. You know, that's where my anointing is. That's where my peace is. You know, at first, the midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning thing, I was wondering, because I like to sleep. I never was one that stayed up all night. But now I look forward to it, because as soon as I wake up, I know God's involved. And I run downstairs to get out of bed, because your flesh wants to keep you comfy. Your flesh isn't always willing. Mine isn't anyway. Is that just me? I like a nice comfy pillow, and especially wintertime, you know, you cuddle on up. But when God's speaking, I want to be listening. And I want to be writing it down, and I want to be thanking him, and I want to be, asking him to expound and share that a little bit bigger if I don't quite get it. And he does, and it's an adventure. It's an adventure. Well, praise the Lord. I've kind of given you a precursor of where we're going today. What do you say we worship through our tithes and offerings before we get started? I'm not going to finish today. Your vision, I mean, my dad, he's still got vision to discover in him, and he's 92. Almost. Well, I'm speaking by faith on February 2nd. But our vision, the vision for this church has expanded. Hasn't changed, it's expanded. It's gotten bigger. And as it gets bigger, the assignment gets bigger. And as the assignment gets bigger, it takes more people to have their hands about doing the Father's business. That's what Jesus was doing. Remember when his parents, you know, they left and they, you know, had a lot of people, and they're a day's journey away, I think it was, or a day and a half journey away from Jerusalem. And before they realize, where's Jesus? Where's the boy? And so they had to turn around and go all the way back. And they get there, and Jesus, you know, Mary was like a mother, it's like scolding him. He said, I must be about my Father's business. At 12 years old, Jesus knew he had to be about his Father's business. We have to be about our Father's business. We're going to spend eternity with him. Somebody quickly tell me how long eternity is. What's that mean? Our minds can't comprehend that. Forever? I mean, you get this far and then it goes further. And it's like the horizon. You can see for, I don't know, what's the horizon? 30 miles away? Well, you travel at, you know, 30 and it's still 30. You never get there. You head west, you're going to continue. You're just going to keep going. Yes. Malachi 3. God's instruction, bring the tithes into the storehouse. That's the local church. If this is your local church, this is where the tithes go. Some people say, why do you keep talking about that? Because there's always people coming in that don't know. And if that bothers you, then you've got a problem in your heart about the tithe. Or if I talk about salvation, why do you keep talking about salvation? Because I don't know everybody here. There might be somebody that needs salvation. That's my job. But you know what? That's your job. You need to find out. The people you know, do they know the Lord? Are they going to heaven? Anyway, he says, bring them all so that there might be food or provision in my house. He says, try it. Try me in this. If I'll not open for you the windows of heaven. I tell you what, I want the windows of heaven open all the time over my life. It's the windows of heaven, it gives you access to what's in heaven. It's an empowerment. And it's in your spirit, man. And how we live in the kingdom is out of our spirit. Everything's been put inside you for life and godliness. But you have to draw it out. And as you take one baby step, God will meet you there. He'll give you instruction. He'll give you blessing. He'll put somebody in your life. He'll put you in somebody's life. God knows what he's doing and how to reach 7 point some billion people. But we're part of it, and we're supposed to be reaching the people that we're going to reach. I don't want to get to heaven and find out that there were people. Because I can look back on my life and I can see people I should have witnessed to that I never did. Some of them aren't alive anymore. And I can't go to them now. That's sobering. Because I could have been their only glimpse of God on this planet. You know, people come up in families that are dysfunctional and full of hate. They don't know a God that loves them. So they get older and they just mimic the same things they saw their parents doing. Get into the same stuff and do the same stuff and have the same values, which aren't good values, the same mindsets. You know, psychology will tell you that by about the age of 12, mindsets have been formed in that little boy or that little girl. That's going to take the power of God to change if it's a negative one. I'll say that again. It's going to take the power of God to change it because it becomes a part of their fiber. It becomes a part of their being. It becomes a part of their response to where they just respond, not even thinking about what it is they're responding. That's why you younger people that are raising up kids, you have been charged by God himself to raise your children up in the way of the Lord. They may not want to, especially when they get older. They may not want to do that. You better believe they need those Bible verses in their hearts. You talk to Joey Roberts. He didn't always enjoy his parents, but before he went to school, his parents made him. They made him, but it's in him. Now that's who he is. He's who the Word says. You don't have to ask him how he thinks. He thinks about himself the way God thinks about him, because it was put in him. Some of you are really good at computers. The computer program is only as good as it is. You put garbage in, what do you get out? You get garbage out. Same thing with the human spirit. Jesus said it this way, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But he said before that, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. But he also addressed the evil man bringing out of the evil heart evil things. Jesus talked about both of them. And then he went on to say, out of the abundance, what's in there the most is coming out. Somebody need to hear that. It might be somebody on the internet. If that's not you, that's okay. That's you, okay. I'm preaching to myself too. He says, I'll open the windows of heaven, pour out for you such blessing. Oh, we could talk for months on blessing because that's what our Father wants to do for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless you. When you get up in the morning and look in the mirror, you need to say, God wants to bless me. How's he going to bless me? I'll give you a key on how you can keep the blessings coming is get involved with what he's doing. What's his heart? What's the Father's heart? I think it's Psalm 35, 27. Let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Let him say, let God be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. But that's conditional. Do you have a heart for what God has a heart for? Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't seek first your problem. Don't seek first even the answer to your problem. Seek first God. Jesus said that. He said all the other things will be added unto you. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. That right there is worthy of being a tither. If God himself will rebuke Satan, I remind him of that all the time. Now, Father, I'm a tither. I've been a tither since I had my first job. I haven't looked back. And I remind my Father that he rebukes Satan out of my life. Thank you, Lord. I've told you the story about Mark Barkley. His son's little girl drowned in the swimming pool. Paramedics get there. She's declared dead. She got caught in the pool. Her hair got caught in the swimming pool, underneath in the filter or something. But the father of this little girl was a tither. And the only thing that came out of his mouth was, I claim tither's rights. And right before those paramedics that had declared her dead, she came to life. 2019, what does that look like for you? A really good year. That's a really good answer. What does it look like for you? It can be what you want it to be. It can be what you want it to be. You are the deciding factor as to what life is for you. God's already done his part. But we've got to do our part. We've got to cooperate with him. Last week we looked at scripture over in Ecclesiastes. If you just turn there quickly. Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs. Chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And verse 11 says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has planted eternity in men's hearts and minds. I'm reading from the Amplified, a divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. Yet so that men cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Verse 12 says, I know there is nothing better for them than to be glad and to get and do good as long as they live, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Labor, our going to work, is a gift from God. There's something about satisfaction in accomplishing something that is a reward to us. And I say it quite frequently, if you don't like the job you have, you need to get another job. That is spiritual right there. Because if you're spending, 8 hours a day at a job, that's a third of your day, and you're in turmoil, then you're not enjoying the gift that God has placed inside of you. He's placed a destiny in there, and you've gotten on the wrong track, so to speak. You don't have the right job. You don't have the right atmosphere for him to do what he wants. Now, he'll get you over into the right place, and he'll be able to work with you there. And that's where your joy will be. How many would really like to go to work and be joyful? Or do you like being glum and, I just hate Mondays? I don't hate Mondays. And I don't live for the weekend. But yet, so many people in this country, that's how they live. They hate their job, they work, and they get to the weekend and live for the weekend, and then they start it all over again. That's a rat race. Jesus came to set the captives free. You're not on the hamster wheel. Or maybe you feel like you are, but get off. Get off, open the little cage, and crawl out. You don't have to stay there. All right, so what kind of life do you want? And Ephesians chapter 3, I gave you a suggestion. Ephesians chapter 3, if you just don't have a clue, I want to help you. Verse 20, most of you have it memorized, but if you don't, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That just makes my head go tilt. I can't comprehend that he could do something exceedingly abundantly above anything I could think. That means as soon as I've thought it, he can do far above it. And yet we limit God. We limit God into really the way we were trained and brought up to think a certain way. I'll never be able to do that in life. I'll never be able to attain that in my life. Don't you know, I was born on that side of the tracks. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were born on. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. What matters is, are you in Christ? Are you in him? If you're in him, then he's in you. Jesus said this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, whatever you want, and it will be done unto you. How could he make a claim like that? Because when you have the will of God operating in your heart, you'll be doing exactly what you were destined to do. It will be fulfilling. The reason people grow, you know, and are not fulfilled when they come to the end of their life is because they weren't on the right track. They didn't find out their destiny, but yet God's put it inside them. It's for you to discover. Now here, I'm going to back up to 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, that's you, he's writing to the church here, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. That word might there means ability to do anything. He strengthened you to have the ability to do anything. And yet people say, well, I just never amount to anything, because that's what they were trained up and told. But when you get a hold of God and you see what God says, it takes all the limits off you. What do you have for a desire in your heart? God's put those desires there. I think it's Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I've heard it taught two different ways, that he'll give you the desires in your heart or he'll give you the desires in your heart. Can you see the difference? He'll put the desire in there and now it's your desire. And now when you fulfill that desire, it's like you're fulfilling your desire because it is your desire. He knows better what you need than you do, right? So work with him and let those desires be planted in there and let them come out. Now cooperate with Holy Spirit because he's the one that's living inside of us. So ask him. He knows your future. He's already been there. Try to figure that one out. God's already lived tomorrow. None of you have. I haven't, but God has. God doesn't live in time. He invented time for us. He didn't need time. He's got all the time in eternity. What's eternity past? Look, our minds can't get that. To be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Through the Holy Spirit in the inner man. In your spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We've been called to walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, we're called to walk according to what God says. Trust him, and he'll bring it to pass. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. It's not about in your mind. That you being rooted and grounded in love. There's the curtain rod that everything hangs off. You're going to have to be rooted and grounded in love. And I'm not talking about man's kind of love. Well, I love you, brother, if you love me. As soon as you cross me, as soon as you say something, then you're on my bad list. No. We're called to love. Love somebody else the way you love yourself. Now, that's kind of scary sometimes because I hear people say they don't love themselves. See, you haven't seen how God sees you. I want you to endeavor to take time with the Lord at the beginning of this year and find out how God sees you. Ask him, God, how do you see me? He reveals it in his word, but Holy Spirit will also talk with you. So rooted and grounded in love, you might be able to comprehend with all the saints, that's all of us, we're all in this together, baby. What is the width, the length, the depth, and the height to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God? I can't even comprehend that. But it's so. I've been filled with the fullness of God. But it's like, You've got it. How many remember growing up that little box and you cranked it and dun, 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 and then what happens? And then the jack in the box jumps out. Which is like so many people have kept God in that little box. It's like you've got to let out of your spirit, man. Let God's attributes live. When you do, life will change for you. Love is the first one. It's fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy. How many want more joy? Well, you need joy. Why? Because joy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many need strength? Then you need joy. How many of you know that it's up to you to stir up the joy? Don't go crying and whining to God, give me joy, give me joy. He's already given it to you. Like, what's he say? How is he supposed to respond? I've already given you joy. I've already given you everything. What you need to discover is by the knowledge of the Word of God, how to unleash it or unlock it from you. That's what we need to do. It's not a matter of God give me, God's already given. It's a matter of me discovering. How many like to discover things? Ah, it's fun. You go on a nature walk and climbing a mountain and you discover things. I saw what are those dogs? Coyote, thank you. Yeah, it wasn't quite as big as a corridor. I saw one the other day and I was in the car and I followed him and I put my window down and I'm talking to him. It's just like, that's a creature God created. And I whistled to him. He started coming to me. Go figure. And he did. And I talked to him. He's like, I'm not that strange. Said, come on. How many people see coyotes all the time? You do? You have them in your house? So it's according to the knowledge that you might be filled with the fullness of God. In other words, you've already been filled. Now you need to discover the knowledge of that fullness, but it's in there. Everybody has the answer to their situation right inside of them, right now. You don't have to go looking out, go looking within. Why? Because God's in there. We're this side of the cross. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send he's going to be your advocate. You need an attorney? He's the best lawyer ever walked, ever lived, ever will live. He's never lost a case. That's who I want for my attorney. He's a comforter. I want him to be the one to comfort me. And on and on. He's everything to us. You know, Jesus was giving us a good gift when he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And how sad so many denominations want to say, we just don't believe that's for today. It's like, are you kidding me? I don't understand how you could say that. Why would I not want a gift God gives me? But yet, here's the thing. So many refuse the gift of salvation. But could it be that maybe we haven't presented it the right way? Maybe it's we've told them with our words, but we treat them like crap. That don't fly, not in God's kingdom. We've got to demonstrate the love of God. That means you might have to love somebody at work by faith. I understand that. But you got to love them anyway. Love them by faith. Say, God, I need your help in loving this person. They're unlovely. You know, when I went down to Isaiah 61 there, I was heading out to leave, and this guy just made eye contact with me, so I stopped to talk to him, and 10 minutes later, you know, I'm sharing Jesus with him, and after I get it all done, this is a kind of a funny one, after I get it all done, he says, yeah, I know, he says, she already talked to me. You think he could have said that at the beginning of the conversation, but he didn't. He let me go through the whole thing. He needed confirmation. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But I just thought it was kind of comical. I just went out smiling and said, God, you're just funny. You know? Anyway, and it was Chloe that talked to him. Because I'm saying, did you hear what she said? She said this. I said, did you hear that? I said, she's given you the truth. I said, that's really in the Bible. I said, and it's found here. You know, he lets me go through the whole thing. Anyway. Practice. I need practice. I'll be practicing until I leave, till I'm airlifted out of here. So all of that, to be strengthened with might, the ability to do all things through his spirit inside my spirit, that Christ might dwell in my heart, that I be rooted and grounded in love, that I might be able to comprehend with all of you guys how great in scope God's love is, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That power has been placed inside of you. The power to do anything, all ability, even raise the dead if it's necessary. You know, we were working over at the Labor of Love Project. Drew and Ricky and I were outside, and there was others inside. And the weather report from the day before said it was going to rain. From the moment I heard that, I started speaking and said, I need these guys when they're available. And then that morning, it's just like it got cloudy at first, and it was cloudy, but I mean, it just could not spit many raindrops. And Drew made a comment, and I said, who do you think's been speaking against this thing? Did I say that? I think you were talking to the neighbor about the weather or something. She's like, no, we're not having rain. And we didn't. Now, if you believe that in your heart, which I did, you'll get what you say. That's faith. There's been times when I've said it and I didn't believe it in my heart, and I knew I didn't believe it in my heart, and it poured guns. It just got soaked. But I knew I wasn't in faith. You'll know if you're in faith, or you'll know if you're kidding yourself. It's just like, I really wasn't sincere about that. Well, then don't expect it to come. You got to diligently believe that God can do what he said, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Well, I'm just getting started on 2019, but I want it to be the best for you. I want it to be the best year you've ever had so far in every area. Now, as I looked at those cards, and first of all, is there anybody here that did not get to fill out a card that would like to? Raise your hand. I'll get one to you right now. Nobody. One back there. Could somebody? One right there. All right. Steve, would you just hand them out to anybody that dares to put their hand up? You don't have to put your name on it. Just write down, and here's the thing, the three biggest concerns you have in your life. Numero one, two, and three. I'm not good in Spanish. One, two, and three. Press one for English. I hope it doesn't change press one for Spanish. Press 17 for English. But anyway, we're going to see these things change in your life. Because you're looking at somebody that believes that God can change those things that you've been dogged with by the enemy, that you've been up against. And a lot of them had to do with other people. And that's where you've got to know God's word on it. You know, you have a loved one that's not saved. You've got to know what God says about that. You've got children that are running amok. You've got to know that. We've had John Tash here. I've known John for many years. His wife, Shirley, she wrote this little book for kids, 30 Faith-Filled Confessions for Kids. If you're a parent, you need to get one of these. Do we have them in the bookstore? A few copies. If we run out, we'll get some. Do you know how much they are? That's my girl. Anyway, these are for your kids. Give them to your kids. They're pretty cool. There's scriptures on faith, scriptures on worry and fear, material needs, wisdom and guidance. Now, if I see adults sneaking in there to get one for themselves, that's okay. Because it's the same word for the kids as it is for the adults. There's no junior word. Walking in God's love. Health and healing. Two pages there. Answered prayer. Answered prayer. I know a lot of adults that just struggle with knowing if their prayer is going to be answered. If you're struggling with it, that explains why it's not, because you're not in faith. It's not hard, but it has to be done correctly. And, we're going to be teaching on prayer this year. We're going to be teaching on a lot of these things that God stirred through you to show me where your needs are. I want to be giving you a balanced diet, but I also want to be giving you what you need specifically. And I'll say this again, if you ever struggle or ever can't find scriptures that pertain to your case, let me know. Let my wife know. We do this on a regular basis. We'll write them down. We'll fax them, or not fax them anymore, but email or text them or whatever way on media to get them to you, or I'll stand here and open the Bible and read them to you. But you need God's word. God's word is the answer. Not man's word. There were so many on family and children. This was put out by Jesse Rich Ministries. And it's this little card. It's a confession of faith for my children. You got kids. You need these scriptures. And he puts them in prayer form, and how you would say it. Father, you said, I will contend with him that contends with thee, and I will save thy children, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. I thank you that my children are saved and faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I claim their deliverance from every form of bondage into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I believe that my seed shall be mighty upon this earth. You begin to speak that every day diligently, and you're going to see things happen. My wife has that one on a bright yellow index card up on our kitchen cabinet. And since she's put it up there, every day I've stopped and looked at that and read that. Because it's not just for your kids. How about your grandkids? You know, our kids are blessed because of our righteousness, but once they get out there, they're responsible for themselves. You can still have some say, but you don't have 100% say. Because they have their own will. But if you've trained them up right, you can stand on, train up your children in the Lord. And when they get old, they will not depart. Doesn't say they won't veer off, but they won't depart because you planted the word of God in their hearts. And so we're going to look at more of scriptures for family and for those that we love that aren't saved. We're going to look at that. Amen. And we're going to show you scriptures that you can stand on and you can declare and decree. God said, if you declare and decree a thing, it will be established. Well, that'll work for you. It works for me if you believe it. Job 22:28. That's worthy of writing down. That one about the kids, he'll contend with those that contend with you. You know, you don't have to stay up all night worrying about your children. Worrying about them even if they're unsaved and they're adults now. You can put the word of God on it. Let God do his part. You know, we have ministering angels. There's another whole series I want to teach on. We have ministering angels. They're here to minister on your behalf, to help you. It's going to get gooder and gooder. You stick around this year, and I promise you, by the end of the year, you're going to be in victory in so many different areas that you were just worried about. Worry is nothing more than meditating on fear. And Jesus says, don't do that. Don't do that. Submit yourself unto God, unto his word. Resist the devil. Don't listen to what the devil says. Resist him. Tell him no. And he will flee from you. How many need the devil out of your life? You have the power within you to get the devil out of your life. And I got the gumption in me to tell you and to remind you and to remind you. There's no problem too hard for God. If you ever come to me with a problem and I don't seem to be like overreacting, it's not because I don't care or I'm not sensitive to your issue. It's that I already know the answer. It's in him. Now I just need to get you over into the answer and you'll have victory. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to close. Gooder and gooder. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your great love for us. I thank you that you didn't leave us in the dark, but you sent your word. You sent your word and you healed us and delivered us from our destructions. I thank you, Father, for the truth of the word that sets people free. Father, may we all make a conscious decision, an act of our will right now that 2019 is going to be a better year. But we're going to see to it that it's a better year through your word. We're going to see ourselves this year more the way you see us than the way we saw ourselves. No weapon formed against this congregation shall prosper. I decree and declare that in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that those that contend with these, your sheep in this ministry, you will contend with. You will bring back the children that have walked away for a season. You'll bring them back to you and to their parents. Father, I thank you that your word goes forth and accomplishes what you desire it to do. It prospers where you send it. We declare that. We thank you, Father, that you watch over your word to perform it, to make sure it comes to pass. So we declare right now that this is a better year. I have victory in every area of my life. I'm not settling for second place in any area. We will go forward as an army of God. We will go into this community as never before. We will pull souls and people out of the hands of the enemy and bring them into your kingdom, Father, with your help, Holy Spirit. But we will be about our Father's business. So we thank you. I bless these your people here this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God loves you and we love you. Tell somebody this week that God loves them. You are dismissed.